Thank you, choir. Wow, what a piece that was. I'm truly honored to sing with you. Have you seen God since we met last time? What was your God moment? These were the questions the participants of Engaging Spirituality, one of the study groups of our church, asked one another every time they gathered for the last 9 weeks. Initially, I think we all thought that they would be difficult questions to answer. But as we began to share the stories of our God moments, we soon realized that God was ever present in our lives, in ordinary places and in ordinary times. As we faithfully continued to practice this discipline of testimony, we were amazed at the richness of our stories of the divine encounters that were captured in our ordinary, everyday lives. Here is one of the stories of God moment that I shared in the class. It happened after the first good rain we have had since I moved here. As I got out of my car and was walking into my house, I noticed in the garden area some green-looking things shooting up from the ground. With no rain over the past several months, the garden had looked quite barren. The ground was very dry, and most of the plants there either had already died, withered and died, or were barely surviving. Now, one night of rain had brought things back to life in the garden. While I was admiring the beauty of those new shoots, suddenly I heard the voice of God. These mere plants have responded to the small amount of rain this quickly. How about you? How do you respond to the abundant grace and mercy I have shown you? The encounter was probably just less than a minute in my ordinary daily routine, but it was truly an extraordinary, holy moment, something that I still vividly remember. Meeting God in the midst of this ordinary life was also Moses' testimony. When God appeared to Moses, he was going about his daily routines, tending his father-in-law's sheep. On the day of his encounter with God in the burning bush, Moses rose and probably went about his morning routine, what he had been always doing. At the age of 80, having spent the past 40 years of his life working as a shepherd, he was not looking for a change of direction in his life. He certainly had no expectation of encountering God either. It was not as though Moses was heading to a special place about to do a special thing. He was just an ordinary shepherd who was doing his ordinary work when God showed up. That's right. God appeared to Moses on an average workday. Like with many others in the Bible, Moses' God moment caught him completely by surprise. Last Sunday, we heard how God appeared to Samuel in the temple as he was going about his normal business, completing the ordinary tasks associated with being the assistant to the temple priest, Eli. God also appeared to the prophet Isaiah in the temple as he was going about an ordinary day carrying out his daily ritual of worshiping God as a devoted worshiper. You will hear more about his calling next Sunday. Jesus appeared to Peter While Peter was engaged in his ordinary routine as well as casting his nets to catch fish as a fisherman. And we know the story of the Apostle Paul. As the risen Lord appeared to him on his commute to work of chasing after Jesus' followers as a fervent believer in Judaism. What these biblical accounts tell us is that we can experience God's presence anywhere and anytime. It can happen at work or on the way to work, at school, sitting at home, or even while we are at the gym. It can be while you are at the park or inside a shopping mall. It can be while you are hiking up a mountain or lounging out on a beach. It can occur in the quiet stillness of the night or during the busiest hours of the day. As it happened to Moses, God still appears to ordinary people who are going about their ordinary routines. The American writer and theologian Frederick Buechner had these words to say about encountering the holy in the ordinary in his book, Now and Then. He wrote, "Take your children to school and kissing your wife goodbye, eating lunch with a friend, trying to do a decent day's work, hearing the rain patter against the window. There's no event so commonplace but that God is present within it, always, hiddenly, always leaving you room to recognize him or not to recognize him. But all the more fascinatingly, because of that, all the more compellingly and hauntingly. Listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is. In the boredom and pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness, touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace." When God appeared to Moses, it was to call him to fulfill a special task. God wanted Moses to liberate the enslaved Israelites, God's chosen people, to freedom. God still needs people today, like you and me, to do God's work in today's world. There is work to be done, and God chooses to work through human beings. And we are in partnership with God. We are God's hands and God's feet. When God calls us, God has something specific in mind. It can be as momentous, as big as the task Moses received, or as mundane and small as helping someone with just grocery bags in the parking lot of a grocery store. It may be to do something somewhere far away in a foreign country, like the ministry of AMDCF, Sar Muyua, one of our church members, created, and many of you are helping. Or somewhere closer in America, participating in the ministries of nomads or caravan or SSP mission trips that many of our church members have done and are currently participating. Or here locally in the city of San Jose or Campbell, doing the homeless ministry, going on the crop hunger walk, helping in the reading program for Rosemary school children, or even right here at our church campus, singing in the choir, ringing bells in the bell choir, teaching the Sunday school, helping with the youth ministry, joining the Wednesday Wonder Workers, or serving in the kitchen, or serving as a greeters or ushers, or even making these beautiful flower arrangements for the worship service. And there are so many other hands-on ministries in right here in our church campus. God still calls people out of their everyday routines. When God appears, their ordinary life experiences are turned into something extraordinary, even holy. This was how the weekly tutoring program for the underprivileged children in the neighborhood of my first church started. There was a neighborhood child whose name was Jairus. One day during my routine daily work as pastor, I saw him and a few other boys throwing rocks at our church parsonage window. When I told them to freeze, of course they ran. Without thinking, I gave chase. I was much younger back then. I don't know what possessed me to do this. I was just caught up in the moment, I guess. Well, they ended up running into a high-rise public housing apartment complex, and I followed them inside, running right behind them. But by the time I got into the building, all of these boys were just out of sight except this boy, little boy Jairus. Being the youngest of the bunch, he wasn't able to run away as quickly as other boys. When I asked him where his parents were, I discovered that there were no caretakers around for him and his brother. As I surveyed the surroundings, I noticed that there was nothing to entertain the children living in that building. No wonder. No indoor playroom or outdoor playground, nothing, just paved parking lot. When I returned home, I could not get him out of my mind. My heart ached for him and for the other children in the building. So I decided to approach the leaders of my church with the idea of starting an afternoon tutoring program for our neighborhood children, at least once a week. Our weekly tutoring program began after a few weeks of talking to our elders and inviting some people to help me with a new program. That new program started with my two teenage children and two ladies in their 70s as volunteer tutors. Very humble beginnings, I know. But we continued to grow. As word spread among the children from the high-rise building, eventually more volunteers came to help, and slowly we had a packed church basement filled with kids and mostly elderly volunteer tutors. Our tutoring program even inspired a young man from our church. Actually, he was the only young man in our church. Our program inspired him to attend a seminary. While serving as a youth group leader and helping with a weekly tutoring program, he discerned a call into ordained ministry. And I'm proud to tell you that he and his wife are United Methodist clergy now and new church planters in the Portland area. For an old and dying congregation, What God worked in our midst was truly a miracle. Our ordinary places and common human experiences can be the ground where we sense God's call. Holy ground. The holy ground where we sense God's call. When the voice larger than light itself calls us, we know we must respond. What specific task is God calling you to perform in this specific stage of your life? Is there something that is gripping your heart, persistently lingering and not letting go? Is it something that you can do with your labor, or with your time, or with your knowledge, or with your skills, or with your money? Is it a task that you feel unqualified or ill-equipped for? If so, do not worry, because that's exactly how Moses felt about his task. Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? That was exactly Moses' initial response to God's call. The call was too overwhelming, even though God was speaking to him from a burning bush. It seemed all too impossible of a task. Moses was fearful and felt inadequate, so he resisted the call. Actually, this was not the only excuse Moses came up with. Here are some other excuses found in the second half of chapter 3 and chapter 4 that I'm going to paraphrase. He said, "People will ask me, 'What is the name of God who sent you to us?' Well, I do not even know your name." Another excuse: "What if people do not believe or listen to me and insist that you never appear to me?" Here's another one: "I have never been good with words. I stutter and stammer." According to a Jewish midrash, it took God 7 days to convince Moses that he could accomplish his mission. Making excuses for our actions or inactions comes very natural to humans. We tend to make excuses for our inadequacies and mistakes. We make excuses for breaking promises. When we do something wrong, we try to place the blame on something or someone else. We change the story a little bit here and a little bit there in order to rescue ourselves from embarrassment or blame. Like Moses, we make excuses when God calls us to a task. We often ask ourselves self-defeating questions like, "Who am I?" Or say things like, "I am too old, I am too young, I'm just a student, I am just a woman, I am just a minority, I'm too shy, I'm too busy, I am too new, I have never done it before, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I'm not a good speaker, I do not speak English very well." I confess that quite a number of these excuses were mine, actually, whenever God called me. Some people say that feeling inadequate is better than feeling overly confident. Actually, recognizing our limitations can be a good thing, because it can help us to fully rely on God instead of our own knowledge and strength. However, we must remember that just because we are limited does not excuse us from answering God's call. God did not call Moses because he had the right qualifications for his assigned task. He was already 80 years old. He had been away from Egypt for 40 years and no longer had any inside connections there. By our human standards, he was not close to being the best candidate for such a politically charged task. Yet, this was who God chose. May this give us the courage that we need to say yes to God. Please, no more excuses when God calls you. For with God, nothing is impossible. Can we say that together? For with God, nothing is impossible. God will provide for you with whatever you need to do the work God has called you to do. God will equip you with the right abilities and capabilities to complete the specific task God is calling you to do. Do you believe that? Yes? Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. To the reluctant and less than perfect future leader and hero, Moses, God gave a promise. The promise was this: I will be with you. And God was faithful to this promise. He would go with Moses down to Egypt. He would work with him and work through him. God will show him and those around him his presence through signs and miracles that demonstrated God's glory and favor. Whenever God calls, God also promises. God promises to be with us. Whatever God may call us to do for the sake of those who need our presence and compassion, we have the blessed assurance of God's presence which abides with us. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, God is still speaking. God is still appearing in our midst. It may not be a burning bush, and it may not be such a dramatic encounter that you feel like you must take off your shoes. You may not be called to lead an entire people out of Egypt as Moses did. You may not have to confront any persons of great power either. And yet, God still calls you. And God sends you. And God makes the same promise to be with you as you walk by faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.